4 years ago today, my mother went to heaven. Back then, I journaled what I was going through at that time, as I journal virtually everything that I go through and have been journaling since 1994. Well, on June the 23rd, 2013, I was not podcasting at that time. Since then, I have been podcasting, and my goal here is to podcast all of my content. I have well over 500 articles down and about 1,500 to go, and so I will get there eventually. But since this is the anniversary of my mother's death, I thought it would be great to go ahead and put this one in an audio format. The title of the podcast is From Despair to Hope, Grieving the Death of a Loved One. Now, a few weeks ago, I did the podcast, the other article, the podcast for the other article that I wrote at my mother's death. I wrote one the day after, and then I wrote one just about 12 hours before we buried her. The other article is linked here in this one. It's titled, My Mother Died Last Night, A Few Thoughts After Life. If you would like to read that article or listen to that podcast, you can go to this article, click on it, and read or listen. The name of this article is From Despair to Hope, Grieving the Death of a Loved One. And I did do these 4 years ago, and they have been read thousands of times, and God has used this to minister to many people who have gone through the death of a loved one. Shortly after doing this, a radio station in Pennsylvania picked up on the article and called and asked me to do an interview, which I was glad to do. Again, people were encouraged, and so I hope that this will bring an encouragement to you as well. Again, I wrote this just a few hours before we buried Mom, and you can read the companion article, My Mother Died Last Night, A Few Thoughts After Life. They're all linked here. And so let me share with you what I was thinking 4 years ago today and what God was doing in my heart. Here's what I said. I have been pondering death the last few days since my mother met Jesus last Thursday evening. My reflections have brought to mind the song, Empty Chairs and Empty Tables, the sad farewell from Marius to his friends in the Broadway musical Les Miserables. It's one of our favorite musicals, Lucia and I, and we've seen it quite a few times and had the privilege of watching it on Broadway. But when Marius was singing his sad farewell, here is part of what he said as he was reflecting upon his friends who had died. He said, "There's a grief that can't be spoken. There's pain goes on and on. Empty chairs at empty tables, now my friends are dead and gone. That I live and you are gone, there's a grief that can't be spoken. There's a pain goes on and on." I think Marius was eloquently talking about how grief continues on with us and how sometimes there really aren't just words that can accurately describe what you're going through. There are times in our lives where words do fall short of what we need to express. Language does have limits. There are particular griefs where words just don't work. And I think sometimes the tactic or strategy of Job's friends is actually wise. In the beginning, they said nothing. You cannot help some griefs with a spoken word. The Lord was on this in Romans 8:26, where he had Paul write, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." The Lord anticipated this because, well, he knows our frame, that we are from the dust. Omniscient God not only enters into our pain, but he helps us to transcend our Adamic limitations, especially when we're going through grief. He does this by doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. And isn't that the heart of the gospel? We can't save ourselves, so our great God imposes himself into our lives to rescue us. We also cannot overcome our grief unless he imposes himself on our behalf. The Lord helps us in our salvation, and the Lord helps us in our sanctification. This week, I have been experiencing the intervening and interceding work of the Spirit. He has quieted my soul and calmed my mind. He has left me comfortably speechless while providing groanings that are too deep for words. The Lord can be sweet this way. He has released me from the need to talk while choosing to speak on my behalf. Like ointment for the soul, his words have been powerful and penetrating. He can parse out my need while working through the contours of the hurt. I can't explain this. I wish I could, but it's okay. It's the mysterious work of God, which mercifully is not a prerequisite to experiencing it. You don't have to explain it to experience God. I have been living in Surrealville for the past few days. But God can go beyond where any man can go, as Hebrews 4 says, quote, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." It's like an amputee who is compelled to scratch his leg. I reach down to scratch, but I am reminded that there is no leg. When a loved one dies, a part of us dies with them. Surely the eye can't say to the hand, "I have no need of thee." That is a reference to 1 Corinthians 12. God knitted the human community into one fabric, and the amputating effect of death alters the whole. The dividing nature of sin creates a strange numbness. As it wears off, a new reality enters that requires a new and practical kind of grace. This type of grief is where the stabilizing power of the Word of God becomes irreplaceable. Though my words fall short, God's words not only fills in the gaps, but they elevate the soul to a place of understanding and comfort. God's word has been life to me this week. It has been restorative. It reminds me of Psalm 23, verses 3 and 4. David the shepherd said, "He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." I am now, this week, the counselee. I am not the counselor, for the tables have been turned. One of the tenets, core tenets, of my training in my mastermind distance education online course is how the counselor is no different from the counselee. There is no counselor, counselee construct in God's world as though one is superior to or isolated from the other. We're all the same in that we serve both roles, depending on the need of the hour. I train my students to become counselors, and I train them to counsel God's word from their experience, not from theory only, which means the counselor is his or her number one counselee. You must counsel yourself. You advise yourself first, and only then do you counsel others. Your counsel should be field tested on yourself before you instruct anyone else. Otherwise, you run the risk of becoming detached from your counseling. You can be intellectual, but not experiential. You must be both. It's like a preacher preaching a sermon that has not affected him. Though his words may be theological, accurate, and intellectual, he runs the risk of being a detached man. I don't want to hear from a man who has not been affected by his message. I don't want to be counseled by someone who is not able to counsel himself. My counselors must not be detached counselors. They must be affected men and women, counselors who have been counseled, impacted, and changed by God's Word. And there are two primary reasons for this. I appeal to my students, when you talk to a counselee, you can serve them by saying these two hope-filled statements. Number one, God's Word has an answer for what you are experiencing. And number two, and just as important, I know this to be true because I have experienced the liberating power of God's counsel in my life. And so with that in mind, I want to speak to you as a counselee. For the remainder of this podcast, I want to share with you how I counseled myself this week. These thoughts that I'm going to share with you are random thoughts. They're somewhat eclectic because my mind feels a bit random at this moment. We will bury my mom in just under 12 hours. The first thing that came to mind as I was counseling myself is from despair to hope. This weekend, I have been counseling myself, which has been good for my soul. It has allowed me to think about many people I have counseled over the past few years. I have become them. Now I'm the one who is hurting. In Hebrews 13:3, the writer said, "Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body." My empathy for those whom I have counseled has grown. I have paid close attention to my counsel this weekend. Does it work? Is it what I need? How effective is my care? Am I being changed? In the movie The Dark Knight Rises, the enemy Bane told Batman, quote, "I learn here that there can be no true despair without hope." Well, to Mr. Bane, I would say the reverse is also true. There can be no true hope without despair. It has been my despair that has reminded me of the hope I have in Christ. The darker the night, the brighter the day. Though I am not fully living in the victory of God's hope today, my despair reminds me of the hope I have Christ. In time, the grace of God will displace the anguish of my soul. I do not feel the need to make this transition happen now. There is grace to wait. There is grace to grieve. In the days to come, my despair will dissipate and my hope will regain control of my soul. It always does. I have been here before. God has been faithful to me and He will be faithful again. He cannot be otherwise. I rest in this. The second thing that I've used to counsel myself is the idea of good grief. Appropriate grief is right. Feeling bad about feeling bad is not okay. Victory in Jesus does not mean there will be no weeping or perplexity of the soul. To not grieve is not to be human. Grief is good. It is even better for the Christian because we know grief is not the final curtain call. Grief is a gift that allows us to hold steady in moments of darkness. The numbing effect of grief is a way to have a long goodbye. It keeps me in the moment of reflective thought. It would be inappropriate to move on as though Mom's life did not matter. Grief is like a tunnel that moves me from darkness to light. It gives me time to readjust to a new reality. I'm moving from the pain of sorrow to a recalibrated victory in Jesus. Grief is the emotional anesthesia that gives me time to process what has happened. There will come a time when I will have to move on, and I will because I'm a Christian. I did not build my hope upon this terrestrial ball. I'm looking for a city in my eternal future. For now, I grieve. It's a gift from the Lord. In a few hours, I bury Mom. Then I began to appropriate the recalibrating grace of God to my soul. I've also counseled myself by resting in mystery. I am coming to terms with sin and what sin does. Sin separates. Sin kills. I'm experiencing the damaging effects of the fall and its subsequent curse. I'm not special or unique. I'm like you. Sin, like a tornado sweeping through a community, leaves questions in its wake. I know this. I also know I will not get all the answers to my questions. And even if someone thoroughly explained things to me, it would not satisfy. How could I ever be satisfied with the death of someone? Emptiness and hurt are the ways of sin. Sin and death because of sin is cold and hard. There is no amount of cleanup that can make it right. Only the return of Christ can fully restore the brokenness that sin brings. My mother lived, and she died. The road ended for her. It would be unwise for me to push beyond the stop sign as though more knowledge would make things right. The road ended, and so must I. At some point, it is important for me to relax in God while trusting His ways as being superior to mine. I'm talking about mystery here. The Lord taught me a long time ago to rest in mystery. There are some things that He reveals, and there are other things that He will never reveal. The key for me is to know the difference while praising Him for how He writes the script. I've also counseled myself by celebrating a shared life. Let me tell you a story about my twisted mother. It's one of the many things that she gave me, her twistedness. An example of this is she fed me mayonnaise for 30 years of my life until I found out potato salad was made with mayonnaise. I hate mayonnaise. I've always hated mayonnaise. She knew this. After I had learned how to make potato salad, I called Mother and asked her how she made hers. She immediately knew why I was asking, and she immediately doubled over laughing at me. That's my mom. I have 1,000 memories like this of Mom, and this is what I will choose to celebrate. It will be these stories that I will pass on to my children, and I have. Mom lived an imperfect life, but it does not matter anymore. Mom is guiltless before God, which is amazing to me. Guilt-free is her permanent and eternal condition. I am stunned by the grace of God and eternally grateful that He would descend upon her to save her, to make her guilt-free. I'm so happy for her. It is impossible for me to fathom being sin-free, guilt-free, and pain-free. She has all three. She has experienced the faithfulness of God. Even when we are not faithful, God is faithful to us. I yearn for my time to see Jesus. And finally, no more tears. One of the most amazing things about the Word of God is the assurance we get from Him that He will wipe all of our tears and sorrows away. I have no idea how He is going to do this, but I believe Him. It has been this act of forward-looking that has helped me through my grief. When I look backward at what has happened, I shake my head in maddening disbelief. When I look forward, my heart begins to change. My faith receives a boost. It's an amazing thing. God is going to make all things right. I do not understand this, but I choose to trust Him. There are just some of the ways that I have counseled myself this weekend. God is so good to individuals, and His word is faithful to anyone who wants to apply it to their lives. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is real, practical, and available to all. I am glad to be one of His children. Thank you for listening, and be sure to read the other article that was written the day after she died. God bless.
Your Daily Drive is a production of RickThomas.net, a global community that is seeking to live more productive and inspiring lives. If you'd like to learn more about our community, please go to RickThomas.net. RickThomas.net.